Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. And now, here's the country doctor with a city education, Dr. Mike.
So, do you ever fast, maybe on occasion? Well, I came across some interesting studies on the benefits of fasting, and I'm going to talk about that in this segment. I laughed about it because I don't fast. I enjoy food too much. I'm half Greek / Albanian, and on that side of the family, I know my last name is Smith, so you're wondering, well, where does that come from? It's on my mom's side, and her maiden name is Scrogiani, and that's where it comes from. I have a Greek / Albanian grandmother that, if she ever found out I was fasting, would probably have a stroke, because food is so central to everything we do. But maybe I should start thinking about this, right? If you fast, you could be extending your life. That's what the latest research shows. And one of the longest living men in the world, his name was Walter, and I think I'm going to pronounce this right, Brüning. He practiced intermittent fasting, and he, in fact, attributes his good health to it, because he passed away in 2011 at age 114. That's pretty long. Now, listen, I know there's a lot of factors going on. What impacts longevity, genetics, lifestyle, and maybe fasting is just a part of that. But new research does point to the fact, or support the fact, that intermittent fasting could actually extend human lifespan. So let's talk about that. But before we do, let's make sure we get something clear here. You know, when we go to fasting, be careful. As humans, we tend to take things to the nth degree. So intermittent fasting, I'll get into how you can do it, is really only maybe one day a week. You know, maybe as you get used to it, a couple days a week. But we'll talk a little bit more about that. But be careful if you've never fasted before. Some of the health benefits that are well known to be linked to intermittent fasting come from four peer-reviewed journals. And the reason I say that is everything I present to you is evidence-based. And I work for a company called Life Extension. And everything we do there is evidence-based. So it's important for me to tell you that the information I provide is supported in the literature. So I'm talking about journals like Aging Research and Review, Nutritional Biochemistry, Nutrition Journal, the British Journal of Diabetes and Vascular Disease. I mean, these are awesome journals that all support intermittent fasting. So let me just, I have a list here, I don't know, maybe about 12 things. Let me just run through this. So these are some of the things that are already well known that intermittent fasting supports. Number one, it can enhance your brain function. It can, number two, lower glucose and insulin levels, which is important because those things have become an epidemic in this country nowadays. It can, number three, lower oxidative stress, one of the leading theories of aging. Number four, it can ease inflammation, which is another leading theory of aging. Number five, it can reduce body fat, right? That's a good thing. Number six, it can reduce blood pressure, which in my opinion remains one of the top risk factors for heart disease. Number seven, intermittent fasting can preserve nerve function in your peripheral system, like in your arms, your legs, and your sensory, that part. It can lower cholesterol. It can promote weight loss. Intermittent fasting can protect heart function. So you can see there's already, based on these peer-reviewed publications, a lot of good benefits to intermittent fasting. But I started thinking, how could fasting be impacting longevity? Where's the physiology there? Well, it probably comes from the fact that when you limit calories, we already know, for instance, when you do that, certain models, animal models, insect models, what have you, can live longer. For instance, it's been shown that yeast, when you limit their sugar supplies, live longer. Fruit flies, worms, dogs, even monkeys. There's all good support in the literature that shows when you fast, or when those animal models fast, there is an increase in lifespan. And it does seem to be the case for humans as well, although we're still kind of working out the research. I will tell you that in Japan, the Okinawans eat on average about 1,200 calories a day. Now, let me try to put that in perspective for you. You're talking about the average American probably around 3,000 calories a day. Why do I bring up the Okinawans? It's because they have the most people that live past 100, and they're eating a lot less calories than, say, the average American. So there's some evidence in population studies, when you look at different populations, that eating less could, in fact, help you live longer. How is this actually working, though? Well, when you limit calories, it forces your body to become what I call a lean, mean, energy-conserving machine. And by doing that, by limiting calories, it turns on certain genes in your body that we'll call good genes, these anti-aging genes. And they help all sorts of processes that are so important to living a healthy, long life. Now, these genes, these group of genes, you may have heard them before. They were in the news a lot, I don't know, maybe a couple years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, and they're called the SIRT genes, S-I-R-T. There's actually 7 of these genes, and when you limit calories, calorie restriction, you activate them. And we know that these are the genes that control how much inflammation is in your body. Then, you know, these are the genes that control every cell in your body and the life cycle that it goes through as it divides and even ends its life. You know, your cells, as they get old, have a way of killing themselves. It's called apoptosis. And there's these SIRT genes that help to control that cycle. There are SIRT genes that are important to energy metabolism. There are SIRT genes that are important to DNA repair. So you get the picture. When you limit calories, you're turning on a set of genes that play a major, major role in the health and the function of a cell. So if you're interested in maybe applying this, how can you actually go about practicing intermittent fasting? Well, there's no exact way to do it, but I think, you know, most people will try to fast at least maybe one day a week. As you get used to it, as I said at the beginning, maybe 2 days a week. But just be careful. Start off slow. Maybe you start off with a half a day of fasting, or maybe you just skip one meal, you know, pick a Wednesday or tonight or your Thursday, Friday, whatever it is, or maybe a Sunday. Pick one day and skip dinner and just drink water around that. So I do think you want to ease your body into this idea of intermittent fasting. Don't just start going gung-ho like a lot of us like to do. You may not feel so well and you probably won't keep it up. So that's one thing you can do. You can modify it. You can get into it slowly, but your goal would be to fast one day a week. And as you've been doing that maybe for a few months, you can go up to 2 days a week. And you're going to be activating those SIRT genes, okay? Now, what if you don't want to fast? What if you're like me and you come from a Greek/Albanian family and you really like food? Fasting would be really hard for me. And I just know it would be. So now I do some of the modified approach. I will skip a meal on purpose at times and just drink water. Maybe one day I shoot for half my calorie intake. So I kind of play around with it a little bit, but I don't know if fasting for a full day, maybe I should give it a shot before I say I can't do it. But there are some other things you can do. You know, there's the calorie restriction diet, which isn't about fasting. It's simply about limiting the amount of calories that you bring in. A really good book called The CR Way, and CR stands for calorie restriction, talks about limiting your calorie intake to about 20 to 25% less than what you normally eat. So you can do the math. You know, you have to maybe keep a food diary, calculate the number of calories you're eating, and then cut that down by about, say, 20 to 25%. That's a nice goal for a lot of people. People who are real hardcore about following a calorie restriction diet might bump that up to 30, 40%, but don't start at that level. You won't feel very good. So you're going to eat around 20 to 25% less calories a day. Now, this is, of course, if you don't want to fast. This is probably where I fall in. Make sure it's a nice balanced diet, though, when you're limiting calories. You want to make sure you're getting, you know, 50% or so protein, 30 or so percent. About 50% carbs, about 30% protein, about 20% good, healthy fats. That's a nice balanced approach. And I always like the rainbow approach. So when you look at a dinner plate, make sure it's full of good leafy greens, colored fruits and vegetables. There's some nutrients that help to mimic this as well. Resveratrol, my dad calls that the red wine supplement, which I think is kind of funny. You can also try quercetin, curcumin. Those are some nutrients that will activate those SIRT genes as well. So give it a shot. Fasting, and you may live a little longer. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.